Hello and welcome to our Easter experience here at the Outlet Community. I am Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church. And I am so excited, not only because today we are commemorating the death, burial, and most importantly, the resurrection of our Lord, but I'm equally as excited because you are joining us today. So whether you're watching live, you're catching the rebroadcast, or you're listening to the audio podcast, thank you so much. And I want to encourage you, let's all lock in together. I want you all to just lean into what God has for us. And I'm ready to get right into the word. So let's go to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. My spirit is stirred just from that awesome time of worship we've just experienced. And I'm just ready for the words to come alive on this page. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. He said, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." I want you all to zone in to verse 6. It says, "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Watch this. Just as he said would happen, come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You see him there. Remember what I have told you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the reason why our faith is alive, because Jesus is alive. This day separates us from all other world religions and ways of thought and intellectual thinking. Lord, this is the reason, because Jesus, he lives to enact, to enforce the word, the covenant that we are now in, this new covenant. So God, as we look at the text, may we look at it with fresh eyes. For those who have never seen the story that has been written for ages to come of the truly greatest miracle of all time, the one where Jesus took the weight of the world of sin and death and conquered it, raised from the dead, and gave his power to everyone who believe. Father, may they believe today. And for those who've heard this story before, show us a new way to enter the text and have a greater appreciation for all that Jesus has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to put in perspective for you the significance of the statement that was made in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. When the angel said, "He isn't here, he's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen." This was a prophetic statement when Christ was on the earth, communicating to those who were following him that he would have to die, he would have to be crucified, but that most importantly, he would raise from the dead. Now, the fact that there was prophecies even long before Jesus became and started walking on the earth, to give you an idea of how significant the prophecies and scriptures are, in the next couple of days, we're going to be completing the next NCAA men's basketball tournament. And there were about 14.7 million brackets that were entered. And one thing I love about this time of year is that we all get excited about the opportunity to complete the perfect bracket. Well, science shows us that in order to complete the perfect bracket, you have to overcome the odds of being one out of 9.2 quintillion of a chance. To put that in perspective, if we were to play an NCAA tournament for over 2 billion years, there is a chance that there still won't be a perfect bracket. After the first day of the NCAA tournament, where 14.7 million brackets were entered, there were only 4% of brackets that were still perfect. After the first weekend of the NCAA tournament of 2021, there were no perfect brackets. So when we think about the prophecies that pointed to Jesus and the ones that he said, to show you how powerful when God says something to us is, there were over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled. If only 8 came to pass by sheer chance, the probabilities of that would be 1 in 100 quintillion. So if you can imagine, as each prophecy came fulfilled, the chances of that happening grew even more astronomically difficult. But yet they came to pass. And I just want to go on record and say that Jesus is the greatest of all time. When I think of great individual accomplishments, when I think of great athletes and great people who have lived on the earth in their field, there's a confidence about them. There's a way that they communicated what they were going to do. And there's a phrase we like to use called goat talk. And that is the title of today's message. If Jesus is the greatest of all time, I want us to examine the things that he said to show that if he was able, with all the odds that were out there for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then whatever he says concerning your life, it has finality, that it has to come to pass. So if you would, go to Luke chapter 9. Let's flip over to Luke chapter 9, verses 21 through 22. And so this is Jesus foretelling his death, burial, and resurrection. Luke chapter 9, verse 21 through 22. And it says, Jesus warned his disciples, "Do not tell anyone who he was. The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said. "He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed. But watch this. On the third day, he will be raised from the dead." This is why we love trusting in God. This is why we believe in Jesus right here. Because there are many great leaders of great world religions. There's Buddha. There's Muhammad. There's Gandhi, and the list can go on. But all of those gentlemen have a death certificate. The fact still remains that Jesus is the only historically documented resurrection, which makes him greater than any other religious way of thinking. But did you also know that, although I'm calling him the greatest all time of the GOAT, but did you know that the GOAT in the Bible actually is a reference to Jesus himself? In Leviticus 23 and 19, it says that you will find a male goat, and that male goat will be the one to carry the sins of the people. See, from the Old Testament, God was already forecasting the very work of Jesus Christ. And that's so good to us. It is the foundation of our faith that we don't have to walk around with the weight of our sins on our shoulder, that Jesus came to this earth to die, that it was forecast to let people know for generations after generation that I know you're waiting, but there is a Messiah who is coming, and that Messiah is Jesus Christ. But I want to show you another level of significance with Jesus being the greatest of all time. You know, just as Jesus foretold his death and the subsequent events that followed, I went back to a speech that was given in Memphis, Tennessee on April 3rd, 1968. It was from a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And inside of his speech, after about 11 minutes, Dr. King shared something that was so significant. He said, "I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land." He said, "I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." He said, "I'm so happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man, because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." So as we're remembering Jesus on Easter, April 4th, 2021, it was on April 4th, 1968, that Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. You see, he foretold of his death and the work that was still to come. Jesus foretold of his death the life, but most importantly, the work that still needs to take place. Just as when Jesus raised from the dead, he finished the work, but there still is work that needs to be done. The same way Dr. King said he's seen the promised land, but as we all are well aware, there is work that needs to be done. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, I want you to see what happens now when Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, when he fulfilled every requirement. Although the word of God says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it's for by grace we've been saved, not of any effort of our own. There was effort that was still done. You see, salvation is not cheap. It cost our Savior his life. Our Savior was willing to obey every jot and tittle, to fulfill the requirements of the law, so that all we had to do was simply receive the gift that was given to us. And as a result, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, therefore God elevated him, speaking of Jesus, to a place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names. And it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't want you to get it twisted that Jesus just showed up on the scene when we read about him coming through the virgin birth. But as I look throughout this entire Bible, this is a Bible field where Jesus showed up in every single book. You see, in Genesis, Jesus was the creator and promised redeemer. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he was the high priest. In Numbers, he was the water in the desert. In Deuteronomy, he becomes the cursed forest. In Joshua, he's the commander of the army of the Lord. In Judges, he delivers us from injustice. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's our prophet, priest, and king. In 2 Samuel, he's our king of grace and love. In 1 Kings, he's a ruler greater than Solomon. In 2 Kings, he's the powerful prophet. In 1 Chronicles, he's the son of David that is coming to rule. In 2 Chronicles, he's the king who reigns eternally. In Ezra, he's the priest proclaiming freedom. In Nehemiah, he's the one who restores what is broken. In Esther, he's the protector of his people. In Job, he's the mediator between God and man. In Psalms, he's our song in the morning, and he's our song at night. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's our meaning for life. In Song of Solomon, he's the author of faithful love. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping Messiah. In Lamentations, he assumes God's wrath for us. In Ezekiel, he's the son of man. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire with us. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband, even when we run away. In Joel, he's sending his spirit to his people. In Amos, he delivers justice to the oppressed. In Obadiah, he's the judge of those who do evil. In Jonah, he's the greatest missionary. In Micah, he cast our sin in the sea of forgetfulness. In Nahum, he proclaims the future of world peace we can't even imagine. In Habakkuk, he crushes injustice. In Zephaniah, he's the warrior who saves. In Haggai, he restores our worship. In Zechariah, he prophesies a Messiah pierced for us. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness who brings healing. That's just the Old Testament. But we've got two covenants, an old and a new. So in the New Testament, in Matthew, he's the Messiah who's king. In Mark, he's the Messiah who's the servant. In Luke, he's the Messiah who is a deliverer. In John, he's the Messiah who is God in the flesh. In Acts, he's the Spirit who dwells in his people. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the power and love of God. In 2 Corinthians, he is the down payment of what's to come. In Galatians, he is our very life. In Ephesians, he's the unity of our church. In Philippians, he's the joy of our life. In Colossians, he holds the supreme position in all things. In 1 Thessalonians, he's our comfort in the last days. In 2 Thessalonians, he's our returning king. In 1 Timothy, he's the savior of the worst of sinners. In 2 Timothy, he's the leader of leaders. In Titus, he's the foundation of truth. In Philemon, he's our mediator. In Hebrews, he's our high priest. In James, he matures our faith. In 1 Peter, he's our hope in times of suffering. In 2 Peter, he's the one who guards us from false teaching. In 1 John, he's the source of all fellowship. In 2 John, he is God in the flesh. In 3 John, he's the source of all truth. In Jude, he protects us from stumbling. But in Revelation, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end.
He's the one who makes all things new. But most importantly, because he rose, he's the one who's coming again. That's why we celebrate the name of Jesus today. Because there is no time inside of this Bible where Jesus was not there. Same as there's no time in your life that Jesus was not right there with you. You might have felt like you were alone. You might have felt like you were by yourself. But Jesus was your ever-present help in your time of need. And if you're right now at home with me, come on, somebody in the comments say yes. Somebody say amen. Because we serve a risen God today. But in all of those accomplishments, he simply says in Romans 10 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the greatest name of all time simply shall be saved. We got to get back to the base. This entire month, we're talking about going back to base. We got to get back to the foundation of this word in Jesus Christ. And if you've never prayed the prayer that asked Jesus to come into your heart, you may be a great person. You may be a good person that does great things. But what separates Jesus from every other world religion is our guarantee to a relationship with him. It's not about how good we are, but how great he is. And all we have to do right now is simply pray and allow Jesus to meet you where we are. We're going to spend the rest of this month going back over the basics to help form your faith in him. But I want to take care of just one area, which is for you to be born again. And if you just pray after me, even if you aren't sure and you want to be sure, pray with me today. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for me and carried my sins to the grave. I believe you raised from the dead and he's alive right now. I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and change me now. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that by faith, through grace, I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray with me, there's a number coming up on screen, 770-667-4899. We just want to know if you prayed with us. Our team, as well as myself and my wife, we are looking forward to following up with you to take this journey of life with you. I want to challenge you. If you prayed that prayer of salvation today, I want to make a 12-month challenge to you. I want you to commit to either being a part of our online gathering or making sure you play our online gathering once a week for the next 12 months. And I want you to mark where your life is now, and I want you to see where your life is in 12 months. I'm going to put Jesus to the test in your life. And whatever it is, wherever you're watching, as you're reminded of who Jesus is to us and just how powerful and how faithful he is to his word, give him 12 months. We're going to do our part as a ministry to empower, equip, develop, and deploy you. As I said, in this month of April, we're going back to the basics. We're going back to base. We got to return and get anchored in who Jesus is. Before we close out today, I want to give everyone an opportunity on this Easter Sunday to worship the Lord through giving, through an opportunity where you get to listen to your heart and ask, Lord, because of what you've done, what am I supposed to do in response? That is truly the work of the Christian faith. How will I respond to what you've done from the beginning of time to where we stand today? And so right now, as we're receiving offering, there is three ways to give here at the Outlet Community. You can give by texting 73256 and the letters TOC. There's a number that will be sent back to you. You can give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give, or you can give by Zelle to the number 770-865-5605. It's just our way of being able to, whatever way is easy for you to participate, we want to make that possible so that we can continue to proclaim Jesus to the uttermost parts of the world. Before we close, I do want us to receive Holy Communion. So as we promised that we were going to receive Holy Communion on Easter, we just had a wonderful outdoor service today where we received Holy Communion for those who came here to King and in Atlanta. We were able to worship outside, but
for everyone wherever you are in the world. We want to make this communion just special on today, because what we're holding is proof of, this is in essence our championship ring. This is proof of what was done. And in Matthew chapter 26, I went there on last week, Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is the body, for this is my body. And so whatever symptom of sickness and disease that you have in your body, Jesus gave. And not only did he give, but he's alive to enforce as the mediator of this covenant. Thank you for these things. You can partake of the body. But the scripture goes on to say, and he took the cup of wine and gave thanks for it, to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. The payment of every misstep, every mess up, every mistake, any thought that comes against your perfect relationship with God is taken care of right here through this blood. And as you partake it, because Jesus paid the price, simply have the humility to receive what he's done. So thank you, Lord, that we receive of your body and your blood, not of our own efforts or merits or worthiness, but because you are so wonderful to us. Father, for every person who participated, Father, I sense our online community just coming together and being reminded of your goodness in our life, your faithfulness to your word. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you so much. Thank you for being a part of our Easter celebration here at the Outlet. Come on back next week, because I'm going to be sharing one of the most powerful revelations that transformed my life, which is the revelation of the grace of God. If you thought that you knew the word, you want to come next week, because I'm going to be knocking over some sacred cows to give you a revelation of who Jesus is and how to apply it in your life. So I'll see you all next week.